Last week, we were talking about prayer blockers. Prayer blockers. I remember my note. I didn't have my iPad last week. Thank God I have it now. The things we take for granted, until we don't have them anymore, then we understand their value and their importance in our lives. Praise the Lord. Beware of prayer blockers. What can stop me from advancing? What and what can stop my prayers from being answered? What is keeping me from praying? Some people pray and they are not getting answers. Some people don't pray at all. What is keeping you from praying? And what is keeping your prayers from being answered? The Bible tells me in Matthew 21, which is our key scripture, Matthew 21, verse 22, All things, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. The key word there to answer prayer is believing. Believing. You have to pray before prayer is answered, right? But then you need to believe. Believing is key. And last week we talked about the fact that God cannot lie. We said the word of God is true. It's infallible. We said the word of God is pure, and we said the word of God is everlasting. Heaven and earth would fail, but the word of God will still remain the same. Not a single tittle or jot of it will go back to God void. It will establish the purpose for which it was sent. The Bible says that the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. So if the word of God is the ultimate, the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Jesus is the principal thing. The word of God is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get the word of God. In all you're getting, get understanding. Praise the Lord. And in Proverbs 8, throughout, it tells you the value of the wisdom of God. It says it's an ornament. It will give you your inheritance. It will give you the blessings that cannot decay. It will put upon you and I the crown of life. Praise the Lord. That when Adam and Eve deviated from the word of God and their attention were caught up on something else, they lost everything. They lost everything. We also said last week, excuse me, that doubt is an instrument in the hands of the devil to steal. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He still uses doubt. The Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways and will not receive anything from God. We said unbelief is believing anything else outside God. Believing everyone else except the word of God. Believing everything you see but what God is saying. That is unbelief. And unbelief comes through the lack of knowledge of the word of God. And I said emphatically last week that a heart that is left uncultivated by the word of God will grow weeds. It will grow envy. It will grow evil. Amen? And God frowns at all these things. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We also said unbelief is a refusal to act on the word of God. When you refuse to act, to follow the instructions of God, that is a show of unbelief. We talked about faith. We said faith is a confidence booster. Faith boosts your confidence to go before the throne of God, to declare the word of God, to step into the arena that God has prepared for you. And I'm sure we closed last week with the fact that unrighteousness is a prayer blocker. Every child of God must not joke with unrighteousness. The church we belong to, the Redeemed Christian Church of God, is a church that is hinged on holiness. Holiness and righteousness. These are important. Doing the right thing according to the will of God. If we can do that, then things will press forward. Praise the Lord. There is one key factor where righteousness is concerned. If you don't have the love of God in your heart, you don't have righteousness. The love of God is key. The love of God is important. Love in our hearts endears us to God, because God himself is love. Amen? Peter said we must have compassion one towards another, loving the brethren, be pitiful. Amen? Be courteous. Be mindful of other people. Don't be rude. Be respectful. Honor those who are above you. Honor those who are beneath you. Respect them. Unrighteousness comes also by reason of sin. And one thing I want you to understand is, sin can be forgiven. Amen? God forgives sin. God wants to forgive. God does not hold anybody in unrighteousness or in unforgiveness. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we are liars, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us all our iniquities. 1 John 1 verse 9. Hallelujah. Many of us, because of the things we have done in the past, that becomes a barrier for us to go before God. You can't creep around the truth. You can't tiptoe around the truth. There is no fear in the truth. Just like there is no fear in love. There is no fear in God. It is the devil that brings torment. Hallelujah. So don't let what happened to you before, or the experiences you have had in the past, don't let it stop you from praying. God wants to hear your voice every day. God wants to welcome your voice, wants to welcome you into his presence on a daily basis. Because you are born again, if you are born again, you have every right to stand before God in prayer, regardless of what the past is. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God is not one that reckons with the mistakes of our past. The blood of Jesus Christ is too potent. He's able to wash away all those evil, everything that is contrary to the will of God in our lives. I want to proceed today by giving us the next point. Things we need to beware of that can block our prayers from being answered. And reasons why we don't pray. This is a message that I've prepared since last week, or 2 weeks ago rather. So it's just a continuation. If any one of it hits you anywhere, I didn't prepare it because of you. Amen. Just telling you in advance. But if it touches you, adjust. Tell your neighbor, adjust. Uh-huh. Praise God. Disagreement is a prayer blocker. Disagreement. Some people still argue with the word of God.
Husband and wife in disagreement. You are blocking your blessing. Between partners in business, you have disagreement. Guess what happens to that business? The business begins to crumble, right? Praise the Lord. Disagreement can fester and develop into bitterness. And bitterness is a major prayer blocker. You can't have bitterness in your heart and go to God in prayer for anything. When you have bitterness in your heart, the only prayer you can pray is that God should purge you by the blood of Jesus and remove this bitterness from your heart. Hallelujah. You know, disagreement, the Bible says, the blessings of God are released in the place of agreement. Psalm 133. It is in the place of agreement that God releases his blessing. If two people, the Bible says in Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed? How can you not agree with the one that will help you? How can you not agree with the one that will open the way for you? How can you not agree with the one who is about to bring new things into your life? You can't fight your destiny helper. You are not going to win. Praise the Lord. We can't fight God and win. I've had some people say some stupid things that I'm angry with the man upstairs. Who is the man upstairs that you are angry with? You're just fooling yourself. You're angry with yourself. How can you be angry against God? Under what rationale can that be? Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 3 verse 7 says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. You want to go to God in prayer? You want God to answer your prayer? Don't treat your wife shabbily. The same goes for the woman. Don't treat your husband shabbily and say you are going to God in prayer. You can't be bitter against one another and pray. Anytime that happens, that there is bitterness in the home, sort it out. Discuss it. Get rid of it. Then hold hands together. Kneel down and ask God to forgive both of you so that the presence of God can return into your home. Anytime there is bitterness in a Christian home, God stays away. The presence of God stays away. I'm not saying that every time husband and wife have a problem, then there's bitterness in them. Oh, they can have differences. Differences does not have to lead to bitterness. Praise the Lord. Amen. We can agree, we can disagree on opinions, but at the end of the day, we have to arrive at a conclusion on what we are going to do together, not as a singular entity, to advance our family. Praise the Lord. Isn't it interesting that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, he said, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submit yourself. This is talking to husband and wife, to two people. Submit yourselves to one another. This scripture came before the word in 22 that says, wife, submit. There's an injunction saying husband and wife need to submit to one another in the fear of God. Come under each other's mission. Come under the purpose of God for yourselves. I keep on saying to be married or married couples who dare to listen to the truth of the word of God, especially men. Because you are married to the woman does not mean she has lost her destiny. Because she has signed your name as her name does not mean she does not have a purpose in life. And her purpose is for your benefit. So if you are knocking your wife down, guess what? You are knocking your own benefit down. If you are pulling down your wife, you are pulling down your helper. A wife is a helper. For her to help you best, you better encourage her. Be the one that will encourage her more than anybody else. Because whatever she does, whatever she becomes, is going to be either for the benefit of the family or to the detriment of the family. So we have to submit to ourselves. If we don't submit to ourselves, how can we pray together? How can we have direction in the place of prayer? The Bible says the husband and the wife, they are one. So if God does not see you as one, what do you think is happening? Time will fail me to intricately go into this kind of a subject. I'm not here to do marriage counseling. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But I hope you get the gist. Amen. I hope you get the gist. The Bible says in Psalm 66 and verse 18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he says, God will not hear me. So if that be the truth, then before I begin to table my situation before God, then I need to go to him and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Purge me. A lot of Christians still play games with God. Games we can never win. Amen? Games we can never win. Matthew 18, in order to buttress my point, Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, that if the two of you shall agree on earth, touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Why? Because God loves the place of agreement. In every home, in every relationship, there has to be agreement of common purpose. Amen. Verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, the only factor that binds them together is the name of God, the name of Jesus. The purpose of our gathering is God. God says, then I am in the midst of them. Watch that scripture. It did not say, I will be. He said, I am already there. Amen? He didn't say, I'm coming there. I am already there. So before we pray at all, because our purpose is one, God is already involved. Our purpose is one. According to the will of God, God is already involved. Praise the Lord. And then the Bible says in James 3:16, for where envy and strife is, that is where there is no agreement. We are talking about prayer blockers. When there is no agreement, when there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. There.
God is blocked out.
What kind of prayer are you praying when you are not praying in the will of God? The Bible says we pray and we do not get because we pray amiss. James chapter 4, read from 1 to 3. We pray, we do not get. Why? Because we pray amiss, because we want to consume it on our own lust. The only person I'm thinking of in the prayer is me. It's because of me. God is not even involved. There is no benefit for the kingdom of God in the prayers that we are praying. I told us last week about Anna. Anna said, God, give me a son. I will give him back to you. And she meant it. She meant it. Let me tell you how it was. After the boy had been weaned, that is, he was not a sucker anymore, Anna took him to the temple and presented him to the priest and said, this boy, I have dedicated him to God. He should be in the house of God serving God. Now, even though there is food in the house of God, do you think Anna still does not come and visit her son to maintain him? Praise the Lord. How many of you can have a child here and say, Pastor Carl, I'm giving this child to God. Let him follow you wherever you are going. How many of you can do that? I've waited 15 years. God, thank you. But this one, you won't say it out, but your heart is like, I can't depart from this. But then, look at Hannah. She struggled to have one. But as soon as she had one and gave him to God, how many did she have? She had more. I said to the workers this morning, I had the privilege during the week to go and name twin girls who were born premature at KU. And the husband and the wife, I don't know them from Adam, but one of my senior pastors called me that some people came and they want their baby to be named by a redeemed pastor, that I should please do him the honor, from New York. So I did. And the husband was telling me that they waited 11 years. 11 years. He said he had been running away from God. God had been calling him into ministry. He didn't want to. He was pursuing money. He said until he submitted to God and started a parish of the Redeemed Christian Church of God before his wife got pregnant. Now I saw those two beautiful creatures of God. Blessed them. I was joking with my sons. Each one of them had more than 20 names, or about 20 names each. So I had to read 20 names for this. But hey, it was my joy. It was a great opportunity for me and a great privilege. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. It's not that somebody, your friend, will come confess his faults to you and you damage him or her, and you take his matter to the streets. No, 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 no. Confess your faults one to another. Why? So that you can pray for each other. You can take up the burden of that person and take it to God in prayer and say, Lord, please help my friend. Help this brother. Help my wife. Help my husband. Amen. So that they may be healed, whatever it may be. He says, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer of the one who has a right standing with God avails much. And mind you, the one who has come to confess his faults to you is one who is ready to change. They didn't come to confess their problem, mind you. They came to confess their shortcomings. They came to confess their fault. Amen? But number four, from last week. Lack of fellowship. Lack of fellowship with God is a prayer blocker. You don't have fellowship with God. God expects us to have fellowship with Him. When somebody is your friend, you want to hear their voice all the time, as much as possible. I was sharing with my wife overnight. Suddenly, at about 2:30 a.m., I had serious heartburn and acid reflux. I woke up, drank some water. As I tried to go back to bed, I could hear the voice of the Holy Spirit in my mind saying, "I woke you up to pray." You understand what I say? I woke you up to pray. Oh, Lord, at 2:30. It's not even 3. So I prayed. Then I went back to bed. When I got up this morning, I was fine. Praise the Lord. If the only time your friend hears from you is when you need something, then we need to question that relationship. Hello? A friend of mine, whom I had not seen for like 12 years, we lost contact. Suddenly he found my phone number or my email. The next message I received from him was I should send him money. I'm telling you God's own truth. I didn't even reply the message till now. So, he didn't get back to me again. That's not a true relationship. That one is somebody who wants to just take. Friendship is not about taking. Cultivating strong friendship is about fellowshipping together. Asking about each other's welfare. And it's not wrong, as much as our minds are limited, to wake up in the morning and say, "Lord, I thank you. Thank you so much for your grace in my life. How are you today, Jesus?" It sounds crazy. But there's nothing wrong with that. So, Lord, I just want to come to honor you. I just want to appreciate you. I just want to thank you. Thank you for what you are doing in my life. Thank you for what you have done. You see, for me, it's not just on a daily basis. It's a moment by moment basis. Sometimes it's under my breath. Sometimes I say it out. And some of my wife will like, "Oh, what happened?" I say, "Nothing. I'm just thanking God." I don't have to have a reason. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God is just in my view. I want Him to be in my view on a moment-by-moment basis. So that when I go to Him in prayer, I do not need to be conjuring up vocabularies. Do you catch my drift? I don't need to be conjuring vocabularies because He's in my view all of the time. And personal fellowship with God, or personal time fellowship with God, opens you up to a world of supernatural experiences. If we read
the book of 1 John chapter 1. It's just a few verses. 1 John chapter 1. From verse 1 through to 10.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life.
Now they are talking about Jesus Christ. This is a divine fellowship, a day-by-day fellowship. Amen?
For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness.
How can we bear witness when we are not in fellowship?
And show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, believe together with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Did the disciples see God? They saw him in Christ. The Father, the fellowship with him in Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Fellowship brings full joy. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So if I'm fellowshipping with him who is light, there can be no darkness in me too. Praise the Lord. If we say then we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. And the truth is not in us. Oh, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, but every other thing you do after church is contrary to Christ. How can you be in fellowship? When you are in fellowship with him, you carry his presence with you everywhere you go. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleansed us from all sin. If we say then we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth in us is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. The more fellowship we have with God, the more of our stains are revealed to us. Praise the Lord. Oh, back in England many years back, there's a place called Ashburnham. It's like a retreat where people go, rent a room, and pray. And more often, we do that. And I went this time, and my only sole purpose for going was, Lord, please reveal me to me. Reveal me to me. How? I'm going to tell you what I saw. And God showed me, it's like a white bedsheet, very white. But then it now had a stain, tiny stain on it. So he's showing me there's something in your life you need to deal with. And the next thing I saw was our general overseer coming to me in that vision and now speaking to me about this, about that. Everybody should go to God. That's fellowship. Show me me. The more I walk with Jesus, the more of me I know. The more of my weaknesses I can deal with. If he says, be ye holy as I am holy, the possibility of holiness is high. Praise the Lord. It's not impossible to be holy. Point number five. Limiting the word of God is a prayer blocker. Limiting the word of God. I preached a message many years ago on the other side of Jordan, that before us, what is stopping many people from actualizing the purpose of God for their lives is their brain. Because we tend to be led by our own thinking. We tend to be led by what we see. We are not led by faith. Majorly in our finances, we don't allow God to lead us by faith. We live by calculation. Oh my God. We limit God in so many areas. Ignorance of the power and the integrity of the word of God is a prayer blocker. The word of God is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The word of God is power. The word of God actualized everything you can see. Whatever made the thing that made the thing that made the chair you are sitting on was the word. The iron ore in the ground. The word. Scientists and atheists, they've lost their mind. Because they are too carnal to understand the word. And many people are in church also too carnal to understand the word. How can this earth exist just by itself? And then another planet exists by itself. And then they say it's the brother of the earth. But they don't know whether it has oxygen or not. Why can't the earth, if it was done an explosion that happened by itself, can it not just duplicate itself somewhere? Oh, they say animals, they evolve because of adaptation to weather. No, God made them like that. Why have they not changed since we were born? Amen? My first dog, Lena, I put her outside every time. She didn't change. Amen? From puppy, she didn't change. The only thing about her is that she cries, let me come in, that's all. Her color was the same. Her eyes did not change. She only grew taller. But my youngest daughter, I think she has adapted. Because sometimes I look at her, I'm like, I hope they didn't give us another baby at the hospital. Amen? Because she's a tomboy. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a few scriptures, and I'm going to close. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Psalm 147 and verse 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power is understanding. It's infinite. the understanding of God is too much. Then turn with me to Psalm 78. Verse 41. I'm talking about limiting God, limiting the word of God. Psalm 78, 41. Yea, they turned back. Why? And tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They turned back from his word. They limited him. What he could have done because of their unbelief in the word, because of how less they treated the word, they limited God. Let me give you a story in closing in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 13. 2 Kings 13. From verse 19. And the man of God was wroth with him, was angry with him, and said, thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria thrice. Why? Israel was in trouble. Syria was dominating them. Elisha, the national prophet, was sick. Then the king said, let me go to him. Because any proper or right-minded king on the throne of Israel always seek the prophet to know the will of God and the direction the nation ought to go. Came to Elijah on his sick bed. Look at what is happening. Do not let this be in my time, O prophet of God. And Elisha said, take a bow. Put your hand on the bow. And then Elijah put his hand. The hand of God must always be on top. On the king, if you read from verse 16, then he said, open the window eastward. He said, shoot. He shot the arrow. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou hast consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. Everybody underline that in your Bible. Take what? The arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. Now, smite upon the ground does not mean use the arrow to knock like this. No. Shoot the ground.
Because they took take the arrows, right? Shot the ground. And then the king of Israel shot 3 times. And then he stopped. The man of God sick on his bed became angry. How dare you stop? You have not fully extended the word of God. Your quiver is still full of arrows. Why don't you spend all the arrows on the ground? That's where that scripture in verse 19 comes from. He was wroth with him. Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6. He limited the prophetic. He limited the truth of the word of God. He said, now, you will only win Syria 3 times. Can you imagine if he had shot more times? Maybe we won't hear about the demon called Syria again. Hello? It's just like when God told the children of Israel, he said they should smite all their enemies. But they left some. And those are the ones biting them in the back now. Let us rise.